Road Show, episode number 64. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me this week. We are at home in Las Vegas. That's right. We did not make the trip up to Canada. We left that to the Canadian, Mike Bond, as well as Matt Erickson, who is based just outside the Chicago area. So they are up there in Canada handling UFC Fight Night 89. We're just kicking it around the house, having a few frosty beverages.
Yeah, kicking it here, watching the basketball game on. This is kind of nice. So, yeah. Do good work up there, fellas. Do good work.
we'll take a week at home. As much as we like the road every now and then, we'll take a week at home. It's been good. But in this week at home, really, honestly, is there anything other than talk about than is the UFC for sale for $4 billion? Because let's not waste any time. Yeah. Let's be honest. That's all that anybody's talking about. I know UFC Fight Night 89 is a great card. Yeah, but yeah. You know, your boys, you still got a lot of people that work around the UFC office that are friends. You've got a lot of people, you know, you worked there for quite some time. You got a lot of people that are wondering. Of course, we kind of live this space 24/7 anyway. And all anybody is talking about is the UFC for sale for $4.2 billion, whatever it may be. I'll say this. I have tried multiple times to get a comment from the UFC. I have worked my ass off every day to try to get a hold of anybody I can, and it just ain't happening, man. It has just not happened. So I think this is one of those instances where we have to turn to Cole Coffee and say, John Morgan, you may be a lead staff reporter, but you ain't got nothing on me, son. You ain't got nothing on me, because I know you got sources. I know you got sources.
I don't know. We're treading along those lines of, you know, like a Helwani or something. Because I know that motherfucker's got some sources, because he's been putting some stuff out. You know, it's funny. You know, the sale, you're right. It's kind of been going over my head over and over and over. You know, a lot of it, you know, for my own sake, even before I left the UFC, I had feelings and thought that they were trying to sell the place.
Right.
I used to say it for a while, and I said, you know, watch, within a year or two. And that's why now I'm like, if I make the timeline, I'm like, I am the shit. So I'm like, come on, we still got time. It's about a year and a half from what I said. So we still got 6 months for them to work this deal out, so I can brag and say I told you so. But that would be crazy, because one, you know, we live in this bubble, and right now the UFC is what we follow. We go all over. I mean, granted, we cover all the major players, but should something happen to the UFC, it would really affect our livelihood.
Absolutely.
So, you know, deep down, if something happened and there was a sale,
change the direction of
it
the
could
industry.
Completely change it, and we'd all would feel the ripples from it. So it's a little scary and a little unnerving, because we do live so close to the bubble. But yeah, I mean, I've been reaching out, trying to bug whoever I can that can, you know, maybe say something. But
well, let's start here. There are definite conversations going on, no
yeah,
doubt about that.
Without a doubt.
All the reports that you're hearing out there, you know, these people are talking, those people are talking. That is 100% absolutely
yeah,
true. There is no denying that. So if
yeah,
anybody's going to say, oh, they're not even conversations. No. They are definitely in conversations.
There are conversations. There's visits happening.
Things are happening. People from foreign countries are coming to Las Vegas. things are happening. You know, financial reports being laid out there. There's absolutely no question about that. So conversation going on. But a couple of things. Number one, what I've been told multiple times by the few people I can get to talk, none of whom will talk on record, is to, like, listen, it's not unusual for us to be having these conversations. It's not unusual for the UFC, the company, to be reaching out to other people and hearing what's out there, seeing what's mm-hmm, available. You know, is it a small percentage of the company? Is it the whole percentage of the company? That's what I'm hearing, is that this is not an unusual situation for the UFC to be involved in these types of conversations. So that lends you to believe, you know, maybe it's not necessarily going to happen. Now, as we sit down and record this on Thursday night, the way we do every Thursday night on the MMA Roadshow, episode number 64, 64 straight weeks, just saying.
I had to almost check the number. I was like, is it really 64?
64, it's crazy, man.
Crazy.
64 straight weeks. That doesn't even count the episodes and a half. We don't even count those. But, so by the time we get this bad boy posted, man, news may have already broken that, you know, the thing is done. So we're just talking as we can. And again, the few people I can get to talk just say, yeah, listen, there's conversations going on. But, you know, it's crazy, because it's just conversations, and it's conversations we've had all the time. It's conversations that we had in 2010 when we sold 10% of the company to our partners in Abu Dhabi, Flash Entertainment, And nobody said shit back then because it wasn't a big news story. But right now, it's a massive news story. It's all anybody is focusing on it. And I guess I kind of get that. So that's one part of it, is that there's definitely conversations going on, but I keep hearing from multiple people, like, listen, don't jump to conclusions. There's always conversations going on. You know, these people are business owners, and these people know that everything's available for a price. So that's number one. Number two is the circle of trust in the UFC is getting awfully tight these days. You know, because of, as you mentioned, the Ariel Helwani situation, or, you know, the concern of where information is being disseminated and how it's being disseminated. What I have heard in talking to the people that I've talked to is that the conversations that used to happen a little bit more widely and a little bit more openly are now being brought into very, very tight closed doors, and only a handful of people are really privy to that information.
That's true. But, you know, it's funny, and there's some other things. We had kind of mentioned this before, and I just went online to kind of look it up a little bit again. You know, yes, these talks have happened before, and I think they've kind of those things, they come around and go. But there's certain things also happening off to the side that just begs to differ, that something different is happening as well. And I think the biggest part of that is the Fertitta Entertainment, the sale of Fertitta Entertainment, which loses, or they get rid of part of their casino management. So and I know we had talked about this before when it was a possibility about trying to get some money to try to invest towards an NFL team, you know, which, you know, we've all heard that Lorenzo said he would love to ultimately own part of a team or own a team.
He funded Bishop Gorman. He's funding UNLV. I'm sure he's making some donations.
I mean, he's got a son that's working hopefully through and getting towards the NFL. It'd be nice to say, hey, son, here, I got a team for you. You know, come play here or come do whatever. But, you know, the fact that they are sort of I wouldn't say they're distancing themselves, because they would still have shares in the company. They would still be getting paid out by the Red Rock and the organizations, you know, that they would be owning these stock in. They just wouldn't have as much say. So I think it part of these moves of them just changing, you know, the possibility of these things going public and all this other stuff just really begs that they're trying to gather money to move something else. And I think, because I think once the swing starts happening of where they're making moves and this thing over here is going to go public, then I think people start begging, well, is the UFC going to go public? Are they going to do whatever? You know, most people think that I don't think that they'll go public while they have the current ownership in play right now. I think those guys, one, they don't want to really tell people the kind of money that they're bringing on this thing. They'll say, yes, maybe we brought in $600 million in revenues or whatever sort of thing. But then they have, you know, all this other little stuff. They're not really wanting to try to release that stuff. I think that's why they're trying to fight the Ali Act and all the other stuff coming over as much, because they don't really want it. But for them to make big moves like we're starting to see about their casino side, that's something different going on. And I think to counterpoint, that's probably not the sort of thing that you want to be dealing with while you're trying to maybe sell your company. I think that'd be a lot of baskets to try to manage, you know, and do whatever. But the fact that there is this possible, or I think it is a definite, this sale is going to happen and it's going to buy them out, certain things are going on that you can't ignore the fact that maybe they're making a place, that they're already thinking two steps ahead, even beyond maybe where they're at right now. That the sale of this company and the amount of money would push them towards.
All right, well, let me counterpoint that then. So I see exactly what you're saying, and I totally get where you're coming from. But what about the things that they're doing that are long-term plays? Like, for instance, you mentioned the Ali Act. They're hiring lobbyists right now, spending money on lobbyists to lobby against the Ali Act. If they knew they were getting out, why would they care? They've got a corporate campus that's being built right now, off, you know, over by my house on 215. You know, we've seen it. The walls
that's
are coming up, man. All right. USADA,
it's a tax shelter.
The USADA program is coming up on a year. You know, they invest in. Now, maybe things change over 12 months. That, you know, that's a longer play. The Reebok thing, I guess, was kind of a longer play as well. I mean, my understanding of the Reebok thing, it wasn't just a quick cash grab, let's get money from Reebok. It was, let's develop exclusivity, you know, allowing only one or two brands on our uniforms so that sponsors will be willing to pay more to have that exclusivity. So those are long-term plays, but I'll maybe give the credit that Reebok and USADA were announced long enough ago that maybe their minds have changed between then and now. Wow, that's
It's fucking ads coming on. You know, how can I'm trying to research at the same time my thing wants to yell at me.
The producer, man. Usually the on-air talent is the one that's supposed to screw things up, man. I guess when you're playing a dual role, you can do that. But, I mean, so I guess that's the other thing, the flip side of it. Now, again, I could be totally wrong here. I could be totally wrong, and 100% of this thing could be sold before this podcast even hits the internet.
Right.
But I feel like – And this is just me. This is a hunch. This is not knowledge I have. This is just the way I see it, the way I'm evaluating things. I feel like they're still making long-term plays, and I feel like, yeah, a percentage of this business is probably going out the door, but not the whole thing.
Yeah, just to counter with the headquarters.
Counter a counter?
I'm countering. Hey,
that's
man.
A recounter?
Hey, you know, I'll bring Angelo back on, and he'll tell you how you can counter a counter. They bought the land for, you know, according to this fine report on the web. From,
this better be a good statistic.
It's from Case
Kiefer. You played an on-air ad.
It's fucking Las Vegas Sun, man. The fuckers, they got their shit. People probably give us shit about auto plays as well.
Pays the bills.
It was $8 million they bought that land for. So, okay. But I think also, too, when you look at the property, where they're at right now, they're renting from some. They're doing whatever.
Right.
It doesn't make sense for them. If somebody's going to come in, that's a whole fucking headache that they would have to deal with. By buying and creating this thing, one, besides the whole tax deals that you would get from actually putting the money towards it, I'm sure they could write all that shit off. They're also centralizing and taking that whole headache of how that campus is spread out now. Because if you guys have never seen the campus, it's literally spread out over
the current
campus.
It's not even fair to call it a campus.
Yeah, it just happens to be spread out over like five or six different buildings.
I feel bad when
people
ask me where it is because like they want to make it like a tourist destination.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
bro.
It's cooler to look at the In-N-Out Burger. That's right next to the one. But if you look at the new building, it's so super impressive. It's huge. But it's also one centralized thing that they can also, when it comes to if there was a sale, I'm doing air quotes,
right.
Here's a nice complete boom, this one thing that we have. This is the headquarters. You don't have to deal with six different other properties where part are being leased, part we're renting or whatever. We have another property over here that it's in the sense they're getting rid of all these little real estate hassles to have one particular headquarters that one – I mean, I think for another company looking in, if I was going to, you know, possibly look, I would think that, hey, if anything else, that's posturing. It's like, this company obviously is doing well. Look at the fuck. They're building this probably, I don't know how much. I was trying to find $10 million.
They've never disclosed.
$5 million?
It's got to be super.
It's got to be. I mean, just for the fact that, I mean, the
well,
company's
house
been out
is
there.
$10 million,
dude. Yeah,
I
mean,
that
construction company's been out there for a while. I mean, they're nonstop out there. I mean, they're not going through their night, but, I mean, they've been doing some work. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure they're paying top dollar. And they paid $8 million just for the land. So, I mean, it's going to be an impressive one, but, I mean – just the headache. I can see where if I was wanting somebody to do it, I'd like to have a shiny new headquarters to offer them to
buy.
But
you look at it as almost a marketing thing.
I think it's almost a marketing thing.
All right. Well, let's talk about this because I have heard a couple of people mention this. Word did get out that there was an all-staff meeting earlier this week on Monday. Everybody in the USC was told you have to be there. And the speculation was this is the time that everybody in the company is going to be told the future of the company – that it's going to be sold, and here's, you know, you're all moving to China.
start learning Mandarin.
Start learning Mandarin right now. You know, I don't know anything about the inner workings of Zuffa. I don't have any sources there. I know nothing about Zuffa. But you, Cold Coffee, may know a person or two that works there. So
or
I put
six,
you on the spot.
Eight.
What happened in this Monday meeting?
Supposedly it was a one of those ones where
sources have indicated,
you know, it was a, you know, let's keep motivated, guys. You know, there's a lot of things going forward. It's a big, big fight weeks coming up. You know, it pretty much was a morale boosters that any company would really have. And what the UFC does a lot of times and what I thought they always did well when there was usually big breaking news or something, they would just touch base because these guys, especially – you know, when the company was coming up, you know, I think you would see Dana and those guys just kind of going around, mulling by people's desks, saying, hey, whatever. Now you don't see them because they're either in some meeting somewhere or they're flying somewhere, they're doing whatever. So they would always kind of feel like they were losing touch. So they would call these meetings every once in a while just to touch base, say, hey, guys, we see you. I appreciate your work, blah, blah, blah. So I think it was one of those where it was, hey guys, thank you for what you're doing, but keep focused, doing whatever. And they also wanted to kind of push aside some of the fears that, you know, because this talks have been coming up for a while about the sell and whatnot. And I think they wanted to kind of lay the people that, hey guys, you're not going anywhere. You don't have to pack your bags and move to China or whatnot. And I'll let you kind of point out the quotes and whatnot that you heard that I thought were pretty spectacular. But it was ultimately, you know, kind of reiterating to them that it's business as usual. Keep doing what you're doing. But, hey, we had some big events coming on. Keep pushing. Keep working hard. And no major news to break as
yet.
Where
do they do these meetings, by the way? Like Red Rock?
It depends. No, a lot of times they could do it at Red Rock. They used to do them at the Palace Station every once in a while.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they just gather everybody in the main, like say what would be they changed sides so much. Where PR used to be on the one side, and then you have the glassed in things by the main meeting room.
That's a lot of people crowded into that area.
But when you think about it, a lot of times it's just that office.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you could easily fit in that PR side if everybody's standing around. You could easily
basically
fit
just a
100
bunch of cubicles. I mean, this
it's
is
a bunch of cubes
just
and just open floor.
A
yeah.
A bunch of cubes and an open floor. It is not glamorous. It is not what you would expect to see.
I think there was a video or I think it went on Instagram when they – I forget what they were celebrating. When you see Lorenzo out there, he was popping bottles.
Wasn't
and everybody's,
it the New York legalization?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So if you find that video, you can kind of get a gist of what that room looks like. So, I mean, there'd be times where people come over. I mean, I imagine this was not a long meeting, but I did hear stories, and I didn't really think to ask that question of where exactly it did happen, but I thought I heard about people being tipsy afterwards. So maybe they did do it at like, well, maybe not they were serving liquor or alcohol or whatever, but it could make sense that it maybe was at Red Rock or something, and then people decided to take the rest
down
of the day
your
off.
Now we know.
Well,
some of the,
they were an alcoholic.
The
they were an alcoholic.
Man. I gotta teach you about this reporting thing, dude. You're not supposed to do
that. That could be anybody in the company. Have you seen Zuffa employees?
I heard some things. That, you know, obviously joking. I heard a couple of things about what was said there. And again, I did hear similar to what you heard. We didn't talk about. You know, we kind of verify these things independently because I kind of wanted to make sure that we were getting the same story.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I heard. To be honest with you, I heard that. You know. Dana was kind of actually a little bit joking about it. I did hear there was actually people freaked out even internally when when the all staff meeting was announced. Like you said, I think they all thought, oh my God, you know, we're getting sold, we're gonna lose our job, and that another email went out and was like, no, you're not, you're, you know, everything's good, don't worry, just show up to the meeting. It's not what you think it is, basically.
I don't know. I don't want to go too much into it. But like even like when I've said, you know, if I could have my I told you so a moment. You know, there's been moves happening internally that never get made public. Things happen that kind of leaves your head shaking as you're watching the company. And I think that's why a lot of the people were feeling stressed because, you know, you'll be looking and you're seeing all of a sudden people aren't there anymore. People are gone. People are gone here. This department's doing less. Then now there's a reorganization to this. And a lot of people are like, well, why would we be reorganizing if everything's all hunky-dory? If everything's great, why are people leaving? Why are people getting let go? So it starts to really.
This sounds like a personal.
No, I've never.
Sounds like maybe you have an agenda you'd like to post right now.
I would never post an agenda. So that's why I think people were, you know, because internally, they all live in the bubble. Their heads are down to the ground. They're not going to be giving a shit about some random person just randomly saying, oh, hey, I think. The company's selling, I think the company's this, unless they're already having some sort of questions as to the day-to-day operations that's happening. So that's all I want to say about why maybe staff was a little bit weary.
They all read the MMA sites and stuff and get a little worried. Well, let's say this. Okay, let's say everything's gone, 100%. The whole thing's gone. I mean, I don't think anybody that comes in and buys this thing is going to want to get rid of large portions of staff. I mean, anytime some kind of acquisition happens, yes, you probably come in and say, you know, where are jobs redundant? You know, do we have resources? You know, for instance, like I could imagine if a big agency came in and purchased it and they're like, hey, we own this marketing company. We don't need this entire marketing department
PR,
that you guys have.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I mean, I think there would definitely be looks at that. But I would think, you know, I guess as far as fans are concerned, I mean, again, if you're listening to the MMA Roadshow, you're probably either A, an alcoholic, or B, or B, my mom, or C, a hardcore fight fan.
So D would be A and C
Yes,
combined?
Or you could be all of the above. Sorry, Mom.
That's E, just for your mom, all of the above.
The hardcore fight fan, probably the only reason, you know, I mean, they want to care about everything. But the casual fan, the only reason they would care is just like, how the hell is this going to affect the UFC? You know, how's this going to affect
the
product?
Where the event's going to – probably worried about where the events would happen or whatnot.
And I would say that I got to be honest, I don't think it would change them. I think – if this thing was gone, if this by the time this podcast online, this thing is 100% owned by another group, I don't think we see that terribly many changes. I think the core group sticks around.
It would be smart to keep the core group. I mean, I think it's one of those things. They got to be what they are by having the people in place that they are in place, if that makes sense. Like, you don't want to come in and just say, oh, well, we just so happen to have – we have – graphics design people as
right.
well. I mean, we love everything that you guys have been doing, but we're going to install our people. It doesn't make sense unless they just have people that it's cronyism and they're like, oh, we got these people. I got to move them in. I think what you see when something like that happens, it's on a higher level. It's usually an installation of somebody maybe at the executive level, maybe a new chief financial officer.
Absolutely. Somebody you that know, nobody even knows.
That, yeah, I mean, like right now, even
I mean, Dana stays.
Dana stays. I mean, he
Joe stays.
I mean, you can't get rid of the fucking matchmakers.
Right.
That would be shooting yourself in the foot, you know. But, you know, when you have somebody like right now, like their chief financial officer, he was a different role as well, but Nikisa.
Right.
Nikisa is installed kind of from the Flash group.
Right.
So the Arab group. So they have this people coming in. That's the perfect position for that if a company was to come in to come install your own person in where it doesn't affect – the product that's coming
right.
out, you know, it's moving some bigger things on the other side, and that I'm not
people
saying that,
that
that's
people
what
that
happened,
are used
but
to negotiating TV contracts,
yes,
people that are used to negotiating
yes.
advertising deals
yes.
or whatever like that. That's yep. the people they're gonna.
That's
go.
The stuff. Yeah, I mean, like, you're not gonna get rid of the main production hand because you're literally would be shooting yourself in the foot and setting back because you have a product that people love, and what brought it to where it is. If you got rid of that and started immediately switching how you handle the end product,
it would be ridiculous.
It'd
Why
be ridiculous.
Would you spend $4 billion on something and
to
then be like,
it, to
let's,
break it?
Let's break it up. You guys, you know, this thing's worth $4 billion, but you guys don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
That makes no damn sense whatsoever.
None at all.
So
none at all. So, I think it'd be the positions, you know, on the peripheral that you don't normally think about that we would see changes.
Well, the interesting thing about all these reports is that the leading interest is coming. Every report says that the leading interest is coming from China.
Yeah.
That's where they say the main thing is coming from.
That's my front runner pick.
Yeah. We have heard that there have been some visits to China, that there has been some Chinese visits here in Las Vegas as well. I talked to some people who said, listen, we were working on a new TV deal. And sure enough, if you check this did not really make any news in MMA circles, but there was a big deal announced on Monday of this week, actually. The press release was sent out through the office in Asia, and I did see on Sports Business Journal, it's PPTV Sports, I believe is the name of the outlet in China, and it's an online, it's the leading online sports distribution platform in China, and they've signed a 5-year exclusive deal with the UFC to air everything live, not tape delay,
everything, pay-per-views and everything.
Everything. They're going to get everything live in China.
Think
now
about that market that they
on
reach.
This platform. Yeah.
What is that? Easily a billion viewers.
Absolutely. So I have been told, like, listen, yes, I know everybody's talking about these Chinese speculation, but I think you guys are missing the mark. Here's what we were really doing in China. This has been our big focus in China. Again, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. I mean, I'm talking to people that I have that I know that know what's going on, but that aren't willing to go on record. So I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to feed me a little bit of misinformation. Maybe they are trying to tell me the right thing going on, but that's something that's going on. I still believe, you know, we see a partial deal get done. And again, this is just my conjecture.
Just a portion of the company, not a full
right.
full-out sale.
Right.
It is such a drastic and huge move, but I can see where if somebody's like – if it's the difference between $1 billion and $4 billion, and you're looking at the companies, like just to take that the ESPN report or whatever that came out and speculating there's two big players, $1 to $4 billion or whatever, that's not too hard for them,
mm-hmm.
even though the second partner was like reaching out to people and saying, hey, who wants to invest in this, which make me think that they're not quite as together as this Chinese group
right.
and being able to do so. you know, for them, I mean, I could see where they're, you know, if it's a difference of, all right, hey, give us 25%, we're going to give you a billion, to say, hey, but how about if you guys are willing to bend, we'll give you 4 billion, we'll just take the whole kit and caboodle. It's not a big jump for those guys to make that jump from 1 billion to a 4 billion. When you start trying to push towards the valuation, I think Dane and those cats want the 6 billion mark, then you start running into issues because, one, whether this last year was a record year of revenue, sales, and whatever, you know, it's going to be, it would be hard to push why you would, how you could even try to value it at that level. But I think there's a sense of urgency too, because right now the momentum's moving forward. All these numbers are happening. You know, this year could be the biggest year of them all. You know, but if there's any sort of decline, immediately that valuation can go out the window. So there's a sense of urgency to kind of push it now.
It's true. I mean, dude, $4 billion is a lot of money, and it's, if they could get $6 billion, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's absolutely insane. And
doesn't,
I mean,
hurt to ask for it, though.
It doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, I think, you know, we've heard a lot about, you know, Lorenzo being tired and wanting to get out and wanting to do different things. Obviously, the NFL, the rumor is the one we always hear that he liked on the NFL. I do think at his core, Lorenzo's a fight fan. And I do think his core is
for
a fight
fan.
I think
they're better money fans, though. I think they're bigger. Like, true. I wouldn't be surprised if he had some money in the NHL.
I will pay you $2 billion, but you can never watch another fight as long as you live. Like, not even on TV you can't watch a fight. I'm like,
cool.
Sign me up, kid.
What?
Huh? Man, I always said I love baseball.
Baseball for life, dog.
I tell you what, it's an interesting conversation, and it could change almost immediately, but I knew we had to spend some time talking about it because, I'll be honest, on the ground here in Las Vegas, especially in the circles that we run, in the MMA circles, it's all anybody's talking about. I know we had a lot of fights this weekend, but it's all anybody's talking about. So even though we don't necessarily have you know, definitive inside information, because, again, that circle is getting super tight.
Super, super tight.
I still wanted to share what we did know, what we had heard, because, you know, I feel like that's our obligation. So, interesting timing, though, because I had an interview set up this week with Victor Cui, the CEO and the founder of ONE Championship. And I thought it was an interesting timing because this was part of a larger conversation. I'm not going to play the whole interview, but I did want to play a part of the conversation because we're going to have some more stories out of this. But with everything on all the conversations, it's been about bids coming from China. And ONE FC has had this huge reach in Asia, and they've done fantastic in Asia. And the UFC is really – in Asia, it's a bizarre market. Other than like Poland, where KSW is like, it's crazy. Like, KSW is still stronger than the UFC brand. It's insane. But Asia, UFC hasn't been able to get a foothold there. So I wanted to talk to Victor Cui about what he feels like. You know, if the UFC did invest in a partnership in Asia, because what we've seen, you know, from our conversations and being over there firsthand, it is damn near impossible for a Western company to do business in the East without an Eastern partner. And part of it's cultural.
Somebody installed into the company at a high level.
Part of it's just logistics. Part of it's, you know, part of it's culture. Part of it's, you know, there's a lot. It's multi-layered, basically. But I've had it explained to me multiple times that if you are a Western company wanting to do business in the East,
good luck.
Yeah, you can't do it without some ties in there. So, while we re-up on some frosty beverages, because that is necessary at this point, unfortunately, I've tapped things out here as we had a entertaining opening segment about the possible UFC sale. Listen to a little portion of my conversation with Victor Cui.
John, Victor Cui from ONE Championship here.
Mr. Cui, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. Victor's fine.
Fantastic. Victor it is, then. I appreciate you taking the time. You know, one of the things I see, and I've seen it thrown out there, and it's that you guys are Asia's largest sports media property, and obviously that's a huge accomplishment. I'm always curious, I mean, how exactly do you guys measure that? And, I mean, is that something that you've been able to substantiate, or is that just a claim that you guys believe to be true?
Well, actually, we're not the one claiming it. There's, you know, a lot of other media, from Forbes to Bloomberg to CNBC, are the ones that are always talking about us as Asia's largest sports media property. And if you look at every major metric, as a regional sports property, we are dominating. We have the most number of events. And I know, feel free to go ahead and look at any other regional sport property in Asia. You can see that we are the only one and the largest in almost every major city in Asia in terms of holding live sporting events in the biggest stadiums. We have the biggest roster of sponsors compared to any other sport in Asia. From, you know, some of our partners are Disney, Marvel Comics. We launched every action movie for Disney and Marvel in Asia. Avengers, Thor, Iron Man, Captain America. We have got every single LG TV in Asia. So LG Smart TV comes preloaded with one championship content.
Wow.
We've got Casio as our partner, Canon. We're the first sport property in Asia for Facebook to sponsor. So, you know, all these Fortune 500 companies that are with us and working with us is pretty exciting. So by number of events, number of partners, number of fans attending our events at the largest stadiums, and with the largest broadcast. We broadcast to almost 1 billion viewers worldwide in over 70 countries. And there's no other sport property in Asia that has that reach of global broadcast.
You know, it's funny, you talk about the blend of East and West and embracing those traditional values of the East as well, and I wonder, do you think that's why that you guys have been able to do so well in Asia? You know, I've watched the UFC, which of course is the leading brand outside of Asia, and they've struggled to even get a foothold into that market. Do you think that maybe that's why it's those core values or core tenets that have helped you guys be so successful, where the UFC has struggled to reach that same type of level?
I would say definitely that's a part of it. But also in the world, this is not uncommon. You see East and West duopoly all the time in every business industry that you can think of, whether it's telco, automobiles, digital, online, mobile phones, whatever. You know, you've got Apple versus Samsung. You know, this East-West duopoly, right? Apple, Samsung, Ford, Kia, Amazon, Alibaba, YouTube, Youku, Twitter, Weibo, over and over and over across every industry, you see these businesses in the West, the models of businesses in the West, get adapted in the East, and because they're born in the East and the scale of the East makes it significantly bigger and often more successful, as in the case of Amazon and Alibaba. So this East-West duopoly is very common throughout the business world. So what you're seeing today is you've got the biggest in the West being a competitor in the States, and one championship being the biggest in the East.
It's interesting. You know, the UFC has talked a lot about bringing on, well, at least I should say they haven't talked about it much, but it's been talked about that perhaps they're bringing on an Asian investment firm, you know, somebody that might be able to assist them. Does that concern you guys as far as, you know, your business is concerned? Do you think about what that might mean if the UFC brings in an Asian investor, or do you kind of go about your business and not worry about so much what they're doing?
Yeah, we continue to focus on what we're doing. You know, UFC actually has been in Asia way longer than we've been in the company. We're a very young company, right? We're only 4 years old or coming on to 5 years old. UFC have been had an office in Asia for 10 years.
Right.
So they've been here long before one championship. Right? So we're gonna continue to focus on what we're doing and our plan and continue to expand.
Well, talk about what you do see as the ultimate vision for ONE FC. I mean, again, you've done so well already. You're establishing yourselves in all these markets. I mean, is being the leader in Asia good enough? Do you ever see yourself coming to the West and doing something in the United States? I mean, what is the ultimate vision for ONE FC, considering what you guys have done, you know, so early in your career?
We still got a long way to go. I mean, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. But I really consider us still at the very early stages of what we're doing. In the future, I want to see one championship broadcast every day of the week across Asia. And we will be holding one live event in Asia somewhere or somewhere in the world every week of the entire year.
Wow.
That means you're looking at 52 events a year. And we're on track for that. Basically, we've almost been doubling our events every year. So you're looking in the immediate future. One Chance supporting an event every week of the year. And remember, there's 4.5 billion people in this region. So there's a lot more room to grow still.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Victor Cui of One Championship, the CEO and owner of One Championship. Really appreciate his time. And, again, part of a larger conversation. We'll have much more with him over the next couple of weeks. But I thought it was interesting to get his insights on the UFC. It sounds like, you know, not really concerned for the time being, even if they do invest with some Asian partners, some Chinese partners, despite the fact that that would seem to kind of infringe on his growth opportunities. But it sounds like they're focused on what they're doing, and you know, it'll be interesting to see if that's how it works, if it all does play out the way it could very well play out, because that could be a huge impact to their business. Now, if you like what you're hearing, let us know. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us. Review us. Let us know what you like and don't like. Haven't had any good reviews in a while, man. I like reading reviews. I haven't had any in a while, so we need some of those. So if you've been thinking about doing it, you've been thinking about jumping in there and leaving your feedback on iTunes, do that. And if it's not in the American store, which I just learned not that long ago, if it's in another store, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know so I can find it in another store. I'll read it in the other store because, I don't know, man, I like reading that stuff. Positive, negative, whatever, I like reading it. And it's just cool to know that people are listening, man. It's fun to know that people are digging what we do. So if you can't do that, at least hit us up on social media. Twitter, at MMA Junkie John, at Ken S. Hathaway. Who's that guy? Or at The Cold Coffee. That is T-H-E-E, Cold Coffee. Instagram, at The MMA Roadshow. Even thinking about it, I guess we have to do stuff with Snapchat soon enough, man. I've been reading.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Snapchat was straight up for dick pics and nothing else, but it turns out there might
boob
be
pics. I went for boob pics. You went
boob
for dick pics.
Well,
you know.
That's why I didn't. If I thought it was for boob pics, I'd have been signed up already. I thought it was for dick pics,
that's
and
true.
I'm like, I don't need none of those. No offense if you do like them. That's
yeah,
fine. Man. That's your thing. Do your thing. But I was like, I don't need dick pics.
Yeah.
But it turns out I've been reading some stuff on USA Today, which is a very fine publication, by the
yes.
way. I've been reading some stuff on USA Today, actually, that Snapchat is actually growing like super fast. Like, it's actually one of the most engaged platforms right now. So it looks like I might have to get on that Snapchat. Hopefully get some boob pics.
Yeah, I have to see. That was one I've never installed it on my phone. You know, so I don't even begin to know how to use that one. So maybe some fans can give us some tips on how to get started on that.
Yeah, man, I'm too old for this, but I'm going to have to do it anyway because I like engaging with people. All right, listen, busy weekend in mixed martial arts. World Series of Fighting, Bellator, RFA, UFC Fight Night 89, all of it on TV. Fedor Emelianenko is fighting Fabio Maldonado, which is insane. That fight will probably be happening just about the time most of you are listening to this for the first time. But I did want to say, first of all, interesting fight at UFC Fight Night 89 in Ottawa. Joanne Calderwood is fighting Valerie Letourneau. Do we have Joanne Calderwood with us?
Well, John, I don't know if I should talk right now.
I didn't know if she was here or not, but it's good to know
she's
that she
always
was
somewhere.
Here.
She's always thanks, JoJo. Have a good right, good flight back to Ottawa.
Okay. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
I fucking love JoJo. JoJo's awesome.
She's the best. All right, so interesting because this is the first women's flyweight fight in UFC history, and a lot of people are saying, what does this mean for the future of the division? Is there going to be a flyweight division? I did have a chance to talk to some people when I wasn't bugging them about whether or not the UFC was for sale or not, of whether or not this meant something. And I do think it's a positive sign. I think to look at this and say that, no, there's never going to be a flyweight division, no. I think the fact that they're willing to make this fight does mean something. But I do think this is a special scenario where basically both JoJo and Valerie Letourneau are not very good at getting down to 115 pounds. Their bodies are not necessarily designed for 115 pounds. I think Joanne Calderwood may be a little bit better off in the future, but she had some extenuating circumstances here. Meanwhile, Valerie Letourneau, I don't think she ever wants to fight at 115.
Yeah.
She actually told our boys up in Ottawa today that she felt like she was going to die the last time that she was going to cut, and she didn't seem to be saying that in an exaggerating manner, she seemed to say. So I love it. I like the fact that this is being done. I think it's a positive sign, but I guess I just – in the conversations that I've had with people behind the scenes, I would just say tap the brakes on anybody that's saying it looks like a women's flyweight division is imminent, because that doesn't seem to be the case for right now.
Yeah, and I think the more that they kind of do that and they jump around and do these little forays into different divisions, I think it's great, because I think we know there's plenty of women out there ready to fight. You know, if there's a 145 group, you know, there's women ready to jump on that one right off the get-go, you know, and Cyborg would love to come swing over in that one. But I think that it, you're right, it's one thing for us to just temper our desire, because one, we want to see more women coming and fighting. There's a lot of women out there that have hard times and haven't made it into, say, the 115 or whatever, and I think it would give a lot of the women a little chance to kind of be at a better weight. You know, maybe we could see better performances, they, you know, and who knows what we can do. So I'm all for it, but you're right, there needs to be a steady stable of fighters that are at the quality of what the UFC needs before you start even really thinking about that. And you don't want people just jumping ship from 135 and immediately dropping down to 125, and you don't want, you know, 115ers finally saying, oh, hey, well, you know, 125, that's perfect for me, and then you literally deplete the 115.
And I think that's the biggest concern right now. And again, I mean, not that money and marketing should be the key of everything, but let's be honest, it is. And not just in MMA, not just in sports. I mean, in anything, money is the general driver behind everything. And look at it, man. 115 and 135 are just starting to get really interesting, man. Misha has already made it clear she could definitely do 125. So now you got this champion who just became champion that would be like, nah, I'm out, I'll go to 125. While you've got these big money fights on the horizon, you know, a rematch with Holly Holm is big. The Ronda Rousey trilogy is big. You know, there's a lot of things going on at 135. Meanwhile, at 115, you've cultivated this rivalry between Claudia Gadelha, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. You know, you don't want to give that up. You know, Claudia doesn't have an easy time cutting to 115. I'm sure she'd probably be happy to go to 125, to be honest with you. So there's, you know, I know that may seem like a selfish way to look at it, but as a business operator, unless you're about to sell off to a bunch of Chinese for $4 billion, and then you just say, fuck
who
it,
cares?
125, let's do it. But if you're looking long term, I think maybe that's a sign right there. 125, that was the key.
That's how you know now
that
they're selling.
That's how it's done. No, I mean, I think you know that listen, I mean, long term, they'll probably get to 125, but you need some time. You've just cultivated these two divisions, and now you don't want to, you know, drop a third right in the middle that just splits those rosters both in half.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to happen. And I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually see a 145. I don't think 135 is going to be the max for where women are, but I think probably most of them will be around that area. Because I mean, you're looking at Invicta, which I love. I mean, you see some of these lighter weight classes, and they're all fun to watch. But you got to have the right ones there, and I think eventually it's going to happen. But look how long it took for them to even open up the 115 after the 135 sat there. It was going to be, that's it. This is just all we're doing is 135. And then eventually they're like, well, we really want to tap in, because 115 was a great one. I think some of the fighters you had in there, they're smaller. And I mean, no offense, there were just a lot of hot 115ers, and I think that was immediately marketable for them. I'm just saying, it's all about marketing.
It is
marketing.
You're right.
You have a ton of 125ers out there that people are just dying to watch. They're going to open it up. So, I think it eventually will happen, because it doesn't – not that it doesn't make sense. It just – I hate seeing that gap in between. I'd rather just see some fluid, like as you see when you look in the men's weight.
Those 10 either, pounds.
There's 10 pounds. Yeah. It's there. Just move up as it goes up. You know, why the 20-pound discrepancy? You know, I'm sure they could find it and fit it, but – you know, at the same time, you know, the roster, they I think they're trying to find a fine balance too, as well as the size of rosters. Last thing you want to do after you're trying to maybe scale down your roster is immediately then turn around and open up another division. It doesn't make sense.
Absolutely
to the guys
true.
That get trimmed, you know.
Man, if you want to hear some people off record who can't say anything on record gripe about what it takes, go talk to Sean Shelby and Joe Silva about what it means. I mean, because you know, there's only so many cards. There's only so many spots.
Yeah.
And those guys will both tell you how stressful it is
to develop
a division. Because I've heard both those guys say, and they're not allowed to speak on record, but I don't think this is like trade secrets. They say, listen, and I've heard them both say this individually, our job is not to build champions. Our job is to build contenders, title challengers. You know what I mean? The champions, once you got a guy that's a champ or a girl that's a champ, that takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Your job is to build people and to find a way that makes sense. Like, you know,
find the new ones that are out there that nobody's ever seen.
Right.
I mean, I think it definitely makes sense that they are building the contenders. They're finding them and then putting them in the matches that best make sense for them to kind of move up the ranks,
right.
You know. So, yeah, I mean, I think that makes perfect sense.
Speaking of the 115 women, did you see? I don't know why I've become obsessed with this, man. I've become obsessed with it ever since Dana White told us at the EA UFC 2 party that Claudia and Joanna got into it after the cameras
right.
were off. I've become obsessed with it, knowing exactly how it went down.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you got a chance to see, but Fernanda Prates was down in Rio. They had a media day down there. Jose Aldo was there. Claudia Gadelha was there.
Right,
a couple
right.
small of us, and we got a chance. She got a chance actually to speak with Claudia
and get her side and
confirmed what I had heard, that she landed the kick to the body. She landed the kick to the body, and then things got pulled apart, man. It's just interesting because you know they're in each other's head, and how does that live with Joanna knowing that she got? I mean, granted, it was just a body kick. It's not like she got knocked out or anything, but like. You know, you got into a brief altercation after all that time.
Yeah.
And your opponent got the one good one on you before you got pulled apart.
Yeah. And I'm surprised you went with the leg kick.
Right.
You get one chance.
The
and
kick
and
to
you,
the body. Hit it in
or
the
kick
wrist.
To the body.
Yeah, yeah.
The kick to the body. But still, just
you're
the fact
throw a high kick?
That she threw a kick. Yeah. I mean, like, you figured she'd come in and just either throw a knee, follow an elbow, and go at it, you know. But the fact that she's like, all right, I'm going to kick her in her midsection. You know, maybe it was partly because she knew, hey, this can't really go that far or whatever. But the fact that she, you know, comes in and lands that, maybe Joanna, too, was a little surprised, too, that she actually threw it. Because, Joanna's very evasive,
right.
whatever.
They've
for her
been
to come up there.
Face.
Yeah, to come up there and
the
actually land a kick in the midsection or whatever, I mean, kind of makes you think, like, she was maybe like, oh, you're not going to do that. Whatever, you're not going to, oh, shit, you just fucking kicked me.
Did
like,
you just kick me?
Bitch, it's on! Yeah! You know, and then people wise up like, what's all that ruckus in the other room?
Oh, man.
They should have known never to leave those two alone.
And they haven't. We've got the picture
ever
of Joe
since,
Williams
yeah.
now being stuck. Our good buddy Joe Williams being stuck in between them. So, yeah. No, listen. Great card. UFC Fight Night 89. You know, listen, I needed a week at home, so I didn't make the trip to Ottawa. Plus, you got to let Mike Bond handle his home country
yeah,
there.
Man.
But Rory McDonald, Stephen Thompson, that's a wonderful fight. I mean, you could sit here and talk all day about that fight. That's legit. Cowboy Cerrone fighting Patrick Cote. Man, my staff picks, I went with Donald Cerrone, but dude, Patrick Cote.
He looked real good that last
No time. Joke. Yeah. He looks good, and obviously he's going to have some weight. Even Cowboy saying he's probably going to have 30 pounds on him. That's insane. So, a lot of good fights in that card. We got Bellator, long way to rematch between Marcus Gaval and Eduardo Dantas. That's a good one. Thiago Jambo Goncalves, or I don't know if it's Goncalves. I don't have the great Portuguese there, but another just. Throwing out Fernanda Prates' name, she had a great article with Thiago Jambo. If you haven't read it, I will say take the time to read it. He's got an insane story about how he got here, and it is definitely worth the read, man. It's one of the best pieces we had on the site this week, so really worth checking out. And then World Series of Fighting too. I'm actually really excited about this World Series of Fighting card. Jason Hyde versus Mike Ricci. I'm excited for that. Shaman Marais versus Luis Palomino. That's gonna be sick. And Phil Hawes. The man that the first week of the MMA Roadshow that we walked into the Black Zillions and we were like,
yeah.
who is that
guy?
Beast of a man right there? Phil Hawes, like you just watched him in there throwing people around. You're like, who is that?
Yeah.
And he didn't make it on the Ultimate Fighter,
which is shocking. But it was even shocking because this was a guy that even the competitors were looking at him like this is the dude, like, oh, shit. You know, because that's what I thought was interesting about this season. And maybe it's like this for every season, and I just wasn't privy to it. But the fact that a lot of the fighters that were going in and were trying out for this one, they all kind of knew who was,
absolutely.
You know, what's going on. And he was the guy that everybody was like, oh, shit. All right, this is the season
that
Phil's
that
coming out. Like, I don't want to get that draw, you know.
Damn.
And then for the fact him to not even get in, you know, that was huge, huge. But, yeah, I mean, this dude is – I know we've said it before when we say certain people are just specimens. When you look at him, you're like, oh, my gosh, this dude is just – he's so impressive looking. And, I mean, like, I would never want to fight this dude.
No.
This is a dude that is like,
I'm good.
I'll take a fall on this one.
He's making his World Series of Fighting debut. So if you're one of those that listen to us first thing on Friday morning, all those cards are on Friday night, but it's worth checking out. And, of course, the UFC is on Saturday. One other quick bit of news. There was a report that came out this week that Fedor Emelianenko is saying he's closer than ever than signing with the UFC. I was able to get a hold of a prominent UFC official by text message, and the response I got was eye roll emoji. I don't know how you.
Eye roll?
Eye roll. Basically just.
Oh, you know, like the eye roll. Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah. That was it. That
I thought
you
were just saying, like, dude was like, dude's like, some like, people roll deep, some
yeah,
people roll
oh,
emojis.
No, 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 no. No. Yeah.
I roll emojis, yo.
I roll emojis, son. No, no, no. It wasn't like that. It was basically just the eye roll.
Like,
emojis. Like, yeah.
Like, please.
That shit ain't happening. So no. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know, you know. I mean, maybe the Chinese dudes are signing them, and they're like, hey.
It all makes sense. It all makes sense.
It does all make sense. All right. One last thing. Speaking of heavyweights with Fedor Emelianenko, man, USADA, that talk has been all the rage. The Brock Lesnar stuff, we touched on it last week.
Yeah.
It doesn't upset me, man. It really doesn't. I've seen a lot more about it than I thought I would. I mean,
yeah, I
was
get a little surprised.
People freaking, but it has carried on.
Yeah, it really, really has.
I don't hate on it, man. I mean, the guy hasn't been around for 4 years. Listen. Do I wish it wasn't that way? Yes, I wish it wasn't that way, just like I said last week. But I'm surprised this had as much steam as it is. Dude, like, he's being tested now, and I probably would have liked it to be differently, but it is what it is. He signed his deal right before it was announced, and that's when he became a part of the UFC roster.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if they would have known it was coming, and maybe if they did, they played their cards right and did it as is. Yeah, I'm the same way. I wasn't upset by it. I was a little surprised at how pissed off that generally most of the comments and reports that I have heard people talking about it. Maybe just the fact that, maybe it isn't fair. Maybe whatever. But, I mean, again, the guy wasn't signed to do anything. He wasn't under contract. How are you going to, you know, just go out and randomly test random-ass people if they're not under contract? He got under contract. He's being tested now. It sucks. And then really, if most of these guys were juicing or doing something, the shit would still be in their system.
Right.
So if it's not in his system now, more than likely he wasn't doing anything before.
Or at least he was doing the good stuff.
Or he was doing the really, really good stuff, you know, and that shit just leaves your system really quick. But obviously we don't do the good shit, as you could tell by our physique, so we wouldn't know about that sort of stuff.
Well, I use that all as a setup for my next piece. We call that a transition.
All right, now I'm doing the eye roll emoji. roll emoji, dog.
So I had a chance to speak with John Howard, who actually fights Doomsday.
I love John Howard.
Yeah, he fights at World Series tonight, by the time this podcast comes out. And I had a chance to talk to him and talk to him about a variety of things. Again, just a portion of our conversation here. But part of it was pretty interesting because, if you'll remember, his last fight in the UFC was against Tim Means.
Yeah.
He lost that fight. He was cut. Tim Means then tested positive under USADA. Now, Tim Means has since fought that allegation. He's since fought that charge. You can't say he didn't test positive because he did test positive, but he did basically prove it was tainted supplements, and he got a reduced suspension to 6 months.
Was it horse meat?
It was horse meat. It was kangaroo. It was who knows? But the thing is, he did have it in his system. But John Howard kind of brought up an interesting point about being cut after losing to a fighter who tested positive. And I don't know. He just had some interesting thoughts. This is John Howard, who had nothing. I mean, listen, I don't want to set this up the wrong way because he's not talking trash about the UFC. He still has much respect for the UFC. He did 2 stints in the UFC. But he does point out a couple of flaws and things that he thought were wrong. And I just thought, since we are talking so much about the UFC and potential sale and changes, and now we're talking USADA, it all kind of came together with John Howard. So I thought you guys might want to listen to it. So here is Doomsday ahead of his World Series of Fighting debut.
Yes, this is John.
John, this is John Morgan with MMA Junkie. How you doing?
Good, good, man. Sorry about the whole mix-up, man. It's been crazy, man, between the free weight and all this stuff I'm going through over here, man. Sorry about that.
No, no worries, man. I appreciate you fitting me into the schedule, man. Of course, this is your first time outside of the UFC since 2013. What's it feel like? I mean, I know you probably have your heart set on being in the UFC, but, you know, this is a fresh start, something new. What's the feeling like with you right now?
It's feeling pretty good, man. I mean, a little bit different, man. Not as much as pressure and chaos, man. I'm used to the limelight and the camera, so it's not as big a deal for me, man.
Yeah. Looking back on that, on your second run in the UFC, I mean, you had some close fights along the way, some things that could have gone either way. I mean, how do you feel about it? Are you frustrated at how things went, or are you try to stay positive about it? I mean, what's your feelings on that?
It is what it is, man. I say the UFC politics, I don't agree with, man. The way they release and how they release me, I'm so pissed about it, but it is what it is, man. You know, like I said before, I'm appreciative of the UFC did my career, man, putting me out there and take care of me like the way they did. I don't agree with the way they let me go there, man, but it's a life lesson, man. Stuff happens for a reason, and I'm looking to better myself in my career.
Not to dwell on the negative, but I didn't remember. What happened with how they let you go? Was it just how did they handle it wrong?
They paused me a contract, man, and they reneged on it, and then they took it back. So I don't get that. And then my opponent got caught for drugs, man, and they still have him and not me. So I don't get that. I don't get that politics. I don't get, you know, basically this guy got caught for drugs. Why is it that I get released? He didn't. And now, to Tim means he did pop for drugs that he accused, that he said he accidentally took, which I'm like, okay, it was action is action. But here's my thing. If you pop for something, accident or not, right, and you need to be disciplined for it, right? Now, he got 6 months suspension. All right, good for him, but I got fired. You know, and the reason why I got fired because I lost to a guy who popped for drugs. You know, and I don't agree with that. But you know what? It is what it is. You know, I've never let them talk too bad about the UFC because of the UFC, they helped my develop my career, but I just don't agree with their politics.
No, I mean, I don't think that's talking bad. That's a fair point. I mean, I've seen it before where guys pop positive and they bring back the opponent even though they were thinking about cutting them or whatever the case may be. I mean, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, that is a fair point, man. I just don't get that. I don't get the why that, you know, someone pops for drugs and the person who lost is, and one of the reasons is mine because, you know, if you pop a drug, maybe he had advantage we don't know about, you know, and you still release me. That's quite unfair. But you know what? Like I said before, man, it's BS politics, and I'm not really trying to draw the negativity. I'm just trying to look for the positive.
Sure. No, man, I understand. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Well, let's talk about, you know, World Series of Fighting. I know you haven't really had a chance to get into it yet, but, I mean, you've been fighting since 2004, man. You've been around the block, Cage Fury, Ring of Combat, IFL, UFC. You've seen it all in action. What's your initial impressions? I know it's a little bit different than the UFC, of course, but what's your feel about it? Are you feeling positive about it, or what's your thoughts?
Man, I feel good about it. I've been doing this for a long time, man. It's funny, man. I was always out for my opponent, and I was joking and laughing. I think he was a little uptight, but what it is like, we've been fighting for so long, it's not that serious. We got to fight. You know, he was all uptight, and he was acting all weird and everything. I was joking. He was laughing at me. I'm trying to joke at him and everything, and he was a little uptight, and I'm like, what's the problem, dude? We got to fight anyway. Why are you uptightness? But you know what? I forget. I've been doing this so much longer that it doesn't bother me like it bothers most people. So I have the confidence, and I have the security. Like, you know, we got to fight anyway, so I don't need to beat this bad person towards you. We got to fight. Is it business or what we got to do? But I could tell a lot of the younger kids don't get that. They still have to anger towards you or feel some type of way. Like, no, man, it's just a fight. But that's what it is. I've been doing so long, man, it doesn't bother me for you. So I just go in there and try and make this money and get out.
That's the way to do it, man. What's the immediate goal right now? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, man, I'm not trying to overlook my opponent and not obviously get through my opponent, but I'm going for the gold, man. I heard this league lets you have two championship belts in one league, so I'm looking at definitely John Fitch in the future, man, no time soon. I want to build myself up, you know, get used to the league, get my feet wet. And also, man, that knowing that they let people fight two titles of weight class, I'm looking at David Bridge too, man. You know, I think he's a great fighter, man, but I think it'll be me and a great fight, and I'm looking to have two titles in this weight class for sure.
That's awesome, man. So you're not coming in just looking for one. You're looking for two right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm looking for two, man. Most leagues will let you fight for two, but he's a 205 and 185, so I would definitely like to challenge that, man. He's a good fighter, man. I think it'll be a great fight. I think the fans will love to see that one.
That's awesome, man. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you catching up, and like I said, thank you for fitting me in. I know it was a busy day for you, man. So any last thoughts, messages, anything like that we can get out there for you?
Yes, definitely, man. I wanted to say thank you to Tyson Chadia, Marta Legato. I want to say thank you to my manager, George Snyder. Girl, I want to say thank you to Signaton, FAF, all my sponsors, Mac. And, I can't think of all my sponsors right now, guys, because I'm out of it. Catch me on social media, Snapchat, John Doomsday, Instagram, John Doomsday Howard. John Doomsday Howard on Twitter and John Doomsday Howard MMA on Facebook. And thank you very much, cousin. Guys, here comes the doom.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was John Doomsday Howard, who makes his World Series of Fighting debut. Yeah, if you're listening to this, and then when it comes out tonight, we'll say Friday night. Listen, if you want to read more from John Howard, I will say this: check out MMA Fighting. Sean Alshadi had an awesome piece with John Howard, basically talking about his diagnosis of clinical autism, and it was pretty cool stuff, man. It's pretty cool when guys will come out and kind of reveal some stuff about themselves and some things you might not know about them. And I thought that was a really good piece by Sean Alshadi. So, good
hey,
stuff.
Shoddy.
It's your birthday.
I've always wanted to do that. Wow. It's our podcast, so we can do that.
You can do that. Listen, as we sit here, I finally got these bottle openers from Split Decision MMA. Not great podcasting radio right now to talk about what I'm visually holding in my hand right now.
But they're silver and they're metal and they open up beers.
So I like them. I will say I do find myself – I'm going to carry one of these because this can go on a plane, right? There's no doubt about it. Like, this can go on a plane.
Yeah, I bet it wouldn't.
Because I will say that we do often find ourselves in hotel rooms with a need to open a frosty beverage because most hotel rooms don't. Now – I've got – my main trick is using the door jam. Like, I usually use – like, I'll open the door and I'll use the door jam to open up the frosty beverage.
That's not bad.
But when you do that, you got to be quick with the reflexes because you're basically getting the bottle horizontal to catch it on the door jam and to open it up.
That's risky.
And, especially after you've had a few frosty beverages.
then you usually probably don't mind the initial spill. You're like,
then the foam goes all over the place. So.
I've used the – like on the drawers, when sometimes the drawers have the handles and they have a little lip, I've used that one before.
Okay, nice.
Stick it in there.
Nice, nice.
Even though, I mean, you know, it can be bad for the furniture at times, so I don't recommend. I don't recommend anybody use it. But I mean, in the go-to, man, if I got a lighter, if I got like a Sharpie or something, I could do the lighter trick or a pair of scissors.
A Sharpie? You can open a frosty beverage with a Sharpie?
It can, but you got to watch it because Sharpie's kind of bend, so you got to be quick.
Okay.
And you just pop it. But it's the same thing. It's like a little fulcrum level.
Okay.
It just pops it open and something. But yeah, that was one of the first tricks I learned when I was younger or whatever. It was like, because I remember I saw people doing it. It was like the older kids drinking. I was like, oh my God, that is the coolest thing. Then I made it my mission to learn how to open up a bottle.
That's what we need to hit up the MMA Roadshow faithful for is, listen, if you've got the best answer for how to open a frosty beverage when you're stuck in a hotel room with no bottle opener.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear about it.
Or if you got some other cool little bottle openers you want to send our way.
If you don't want to have to mess with that, you talk to the folks at Split Decision MMA because this is going in my gear kit now.
Yeah, I like because it says in MMA we trust.
In MMA we trust.
I like it, and they also
so
send
it
us
looks like it's about MMA, but really it's just so we can open frosty beverages.
And then they send us another one that it says man card and it has an opener too, so I can say yeah, I got my man card. Where's your man card?
I had to leave it at home.
Oh, that's see, you don't have your man card. Agent H has got a woman card.
I didn't get a man card.
As long as she keeps bringing the beers, she can keep the woman card. If not, we're going to take her woman card away.
I wasn't given a man card. I guess that must mean something. and I should also say, I just retweeted it right before we started recording, but I'd seen it and I forgot to talk about it, but Christian, our good friend from Australia who has done some work with Submission Radio, sent us the slick little video intro for the MMA Roadshow.
Yeah.
That was some badass stuff.
I love it.
Check my Twitter if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, and we're gonna throw it as a tribute and thanks to him. I'm going to put it on the YouTube version. I mean, I love the fact that people are so moved because, I mean, I understand what it's like. You know, when you're working, you're doing multiple things. To take time out to actually create something for us and create a piece of art or create whatever, I totally appreciate it. I know you appreciate it, so we want to make sure we – throw it out there and give some love, you know. So if anybody else is doing, I'm not saying it's going to stay up there forever, but I love it because I haven't taken the time to try to create anything. You didn't create anything. So it's like so it's like, hell yeah, throw it up there. And I mean, if you guys want to make some stuff, I mean, we've seen some other little artwork, you know, possible logos or whatever, you know, and I'm tired of just not doing anything with it and letting it sit. So, I mean, you guys send stuff or whatever. I want to throw it up there some way so we can show people how creative our listeners are and how cool they are. And I love all the ideas that everybody does. So you guys make something, submit it to us, send it to us, whatever, man. We'll throw it up there or try to at least get you some recognition for the work.
No doubt. And a big surprise, too, is that I was actually able to talk to Conor McGregor today and ask him about what he thought about Christian's video introduction, and we'll just play that now.
I think it's great. It's great. I gotta fucking prepare for that. I think it's the greatest thing. They don't do intros like I do. They don't think like I think, but I think I like what they done. I think they like what they done. They done did it good. They done did it good.
So thanks, Christian. Obviously, Connor was extremely excited. Now, one of the things that's really cool about a video intro is that I am looking at a pile of boxes over here. Like, dude, the Amazon delivery driver or the UPS
yeah,
truck.
Yeah, UPS and had to just stop USPS, off. FedEx.
Should we tip our hand, or should we just keep that tight? Should we keep that tight to the chest right now?
I mean, I think we could probably. I mean, it's still a ways out, but no, I mean, I'm.
There may be a video component to this in the very near future.
Hopefully so. Yeah, we're kind of working on trying to get the streaming thing going. So, you know, one for the road show on the road ultimately is the main goal. You know, being able, there's a lot of times we're in other places where there is no broadcast component. They're not sending things back to the States or whatever, and we want to kind of be able to fill that void. So, you know, been trying to work with some different hardware stuff to kind of put something together. But ultimately, once you have gear to stream stuff on the road, why not stream stuff here? So, you know, it's down the line. Again, I've been playing with it and stuff. So hopefully so. There might be some stuff where if you guys are following us on the YouTube, if you're subscribed to the YouTube or whatever, that's going to be where more than likely it starts. Or if you go to the website, I'll try to look to see if there's things I could put there. So make sure you subscribe to the blog or something so you get notifications when we post. Most of the time, I have it tweet to the Twitterverse. You know, anytime there's a post, so more than likely, if you're listening to this, you probably follow the Twitter already, so you'll probably get notification. But feel free, you know, hop on the YouTube page. But it's something that we're working on, and I mean, I don't have an ETA. It's kind of like the UFC sale. It's up in the air. If enough money comes my way,
yeah, some Chinese dude wants to give us $6 billion. We'll start streaming
in
a heartbeat. I
guarantee we'll be streaming. You know,
I'm kind of a little embarrassed because I'm not sure I want people to see quite how many frosty beverages I consume during
the
course of our podcast.
Well, you know, and it's one thing too. It's one thing to hear the podcast.
Can we have it just over can level is where the video will come, so you can't see how many times it's replaced.
I think we could work some props that makes it look like we're doing all kinds of important stuff. you know, but it's like one of those things, you know, when you hear podcasts, you hear right now, we cut out a lot of the mistakes. We cut a lot of the other shit. I think they'll probably, I know, we never make mistakes. I'm sure, you know, it's tough to kind of, if you're streaming live, to take back and say, oh, you probably shouldn't say that. So there's a lot of little things that, you know, once we do go that route that we'd have to probably change up some things and keep things a little cleaner. Not you per se. Usually me. So
and also very cool. I didn't tell you about this, but was able to get a hold of Mark Hunt to get his thoughts on the possibility that we'll be streaming. And I'll play that now.
John, God, you put me on the spot. I had to think about it. I'm like, Mark Hunt.
Did you just call Mike?
All
right.
I can't.
While Cole Coffee gets that together, the other breaking news of this week was Will Brooks signing with the UFC.
Oh, you want me to do Will Brooks?
I was able to. No, this is actually real.
Oh, this is
actually
a real one.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. I was able to break that news, which is cool. Actually, everybody knew he was signing on June 15th. It was just it was basically oh, that was a good Mark Hunt there.
That's all I could get.
It was basically just which one of us journalists could get the person on the phone soon enough, and I just happened to be the right guy at the right time. So I was able to break the news that we all knew was coming. But Will Brooks signed with the UFC. But I did get a chance to talk to him on the phone later that day, and I did want to play a little bit of this. Again, just a little portion of it. But just to hear the excitement in his voice and really to see that Will Brooks is not coming in bullshitting. He came in, took a short notice fight against Ross Pearson, and I've had a lot of people say, why didn't he get a bigger fight? Because he didn't want to wait for a bigger fight. He wanted to get in, get
That's
busy,
a good fight.
Make some money, make his name right away, and he wants to fight in the UFC. And I respect it, man. Yeah. He's not worried about, oh, well, let me wait 3 months and make sure we get the right press around this and build this. He's like, no, get me in the cage, let me do my thing, and I'm going to be the UFC champ. I love it.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous, dangerous fight. For someone that just immediately thinking like, oh, they're just giving him a gimme, Ross Pearson is as tough as they come, and he always shows up when there's the guy that's supposed to just take him out.
That's right.
Like, who's it, Felder?
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, no, I think Felder's got Pearson's number. And Pearson's like, nope, I'm not going to go out like that. I mean, like, Ross is just one of those cats that when you put him in an underdog role, he shows up every single time. And I guarantee most people are thinking Brooks is going to come in and sweep him under the ground. Nope. Nope. I would probably – I want to see fight week. I would probably go on the upset.
Wow.
In that one, just for the fact of coming in, first time in the organization.
Ross Pearson's a gamer, man. He's a gamer.
Ross Pearson is a total gamer.
He's a gamer. All right, well, let's hear from Will Brooks. And while we do that, maybe I'll re-up on my Frosty beverage. Maybe I won't. If we were streaming video, you would know. But now maybe you'll get to find that out sooner or later. What does Mark Hunt think about that?
Yeah, John.
Will Brooks.
All right, John, you're on with the newest addition to the UFC roster, Will Brooks.
Well, let's just start right there, Mr. Brooks. How does that sound? UFC lightweight, the newest addition to the roster.
Man, it's a dream come true, man. I'm trying to pinch myself to see if I wake up, man, you know, that whole thing, you know. But it's just an incredible experience, man. I knew it was going to happen, you know, but, you know, there's times where you think that, man, is this going to happen? You know, you started questioning a little bit, but, man, once, you know, once I signed the contract and everything got done, I'm like, man, it's a crazy thing right now.
Very cool. Well, you're here in the UFC. You said you want to do it for a long time. You're here. What's the immediate goal? I mean, getting here was the first goal. Now, what is the future hold? I mean, are you thinking, like, I'm going to get in there in this title discussion right away? Do you feel like it's going to be a slow build? I mean, what's your path to the top?
No, I'm not in it for a slow build, man. This is not a slow build sport. You know what I'm saying? There's a very small window. Anybody can, like, to be honest, we're like the flavors of the week. You know, you could be there and you could not be there. You could do this and you could not do this. You know what I'm saying? So why would I take the slow route? You know, right now I'm trying to get in there, put on an impressive win, put on an impressive victory, and go out there and put Ross Pearson down, and then go back to the drawing board, you know, get ready for the next fight. But I'm trying to move this thing forward, you know. I'm not getting any younger, you know what I'm saying? And some of these young guys are on their way up, so I'm like, hey, man, I might as well get in while getting as good, you know, so let's go. So, no, man, I'm on the fast track. I'm trying to be on the fast track. I'm not trying to hang out and just enjoy the scenery, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Well, it definitely sounds like there's some excitement in your voice, man. Is there going to be like an extra level at practice tonight? Are they going to have to settle you down a little bit? Are you that pumped up right now?
No, man. my coaches, they never give me the days off, but they gave me the night off tonight because I've been killing it, man. I just been trying to get in shape, you know, and, you know, the whole process that was going on today, I just put in really hard workouts, and my coaches were just really, really satisfied with the work that I put in because I'm a workhorse, man. So they gave me the night off, but, you know, I'll probably get up and go run 2 miles, jump some ropes, do some stuff at home. Just not tell them about it, you know what I'm saying? But, man, this is what I'm about, man. I work, bro. I don't take days off. I don't get tired. I don't take days off. This is who I am. This is what I always be. And that's a problem for other guys because I only get better. When I'm operating in this type of mindset, when I'm in a positive place, in a healthy place, mentally and physically, I'm a problem. I only get better every single fight, and I think I'll put that on display for everybody.
That's awesome. Your day off sounds like my hard workout, man. That's pretty crazy. All right, man. Well, yeah, I appreciate the time. Obviously, congratulations. We'll be looking forward to the fight. Any other last thoughts, messages, anything like that you want to make sure and get out there for people?
No, man. I mean, I just need everybody to focus up, you know. I know we're all celebrating. We're all excited about the news, and I'm very, very excited about the news, but the work isn't done yet. I still got goals that I got to accomplish. You know, this is a goal. I didn't just want to sign with the UFC just to be with the UFC. I want to be a lightweight champion, and I've said that for years now, man. And there was one point in my life where I slept in my car for a year and a half just to turn pro. So this is not something that I'm just hanging out for.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Will Brooks looking to make a big splash. The former Bellator champ. I guess you can still call him the Bellator champ. But I mean, technically, nobody has the belt right now until 1 week from now. So he's still the Bellator champ. I mean, he got stripped and he signed with the UFC, so he's not. But we're saying that as we were grabbing some frosty beverages and re-upping, a little bit of news came on the local ABC News broadcast. The NBA Finals game is done. We just have the TV on in the background. And as we were re-upping on the frosty beverages, we heard this.
Hold on, babe.
And the offers are said to be upwards of $4 billion. UFC says it's not commenting on a public sale. The Fertittas, who are at the helm of Station Casinos, currently own about 80% of the USC.
So as you can see, the potential USC sale is definitely on everybody's minds here in Las Vegas. It really is. I'm telling you, if you're not in Las Vegas, I mean, it is the buzz. It is the talk. It is everything. I know we spent a lot of time on it to start this podcast. I don't want to continue to spend a lot more on it, but just how perfect the timing is at the show, like really what it means right now.
Yeah, and it's literally, I mean, it's the start of the news. I mean, I don't even think they've really talked about the sports game, the end or anything, but, you know, they kind of started the show off. So it's definitely in the air, and I think it's crazy. Yeah, people are talking about it. It's on people's minds.
And nuts. All right. So speaking of technology investments, and it is investments because we don't make no damn money on this show, but talking about potential streaming later, I actually did a little personal investment as well. Picked up a third headset for the MMA Roadshow.
I like it.
So that moving forward, we can now have three simultaneous members on at one time on the mic, on the headset, because these are expensive headsets, by the way. Just the headsets that we use to do this is, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, they're about $500 a piece. They are broadcast quality. That's why the sound quality is so good. But we always,
that's why my voice and my impersonations are so good.
Yeah, they actually come with impersonation software to help you. I bought two to start out, so I put a G in to begin with, wanted to pull the trigger on a third one for a long time. Thought I was gonna have a paycheck coming in to pay for that, but lost that. Well, we won't talk about that right now. But I went ahead and decided to pull the trigger anyway, and that just came in. So moving forward, it's possible that we can have three people. We've done three people at a time before, but the third person has had to have a stick mic.
Yeah,
the sound quality isn't quite the same. The audio quality that they can hear isn't the same.
Yeah,
this is way different. So just want to share that with everybody. So we'll start doing some fun stuff with that, and we might be able to do something next week with it. We'll see. We'll still be here next week for episode number 65. But we should say that taping next week will be Cold Coffee's 25th birthday.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I mean, I've only been drinking for 4 or 5 years now.
You can rent a car now.
And I can rent a car without affecting the insurance cost. It's just crazy how it happens to fall on that day. You know, I'm going to have some family in town. My brother's coming in town, and my niece is going to be in town.
You didn't tell me that. Are we still going to record?
Oh, no, we're still going to record.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, they're just going to have to – it's business as usual.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things. I had some miles. You know, that's one of the lovely things about being able to travel is you get some miles built up and stuff. And I hadn't seen my brother in a while, haven't seen my niece in a while, so just decided – what the heck, and it wasn't like we planned it for the birthday week. It just kind of just fell that way, you know, when we were looking for openings or whatever. And it's awesome because he was telling me he kept it kind of a secret from her for a long time. You know, he picked her up, I guess, last week or whatever, and, you know, just kind of sprung it on her. Oh, by the way, you know, we're going to go see Uncle Kenny in Vegas.
That's
or whatever.
Cool.
So I'm excited about that. But, no, if anything else, no, we're going to keep doing this. They're going to do their own thing, or they're going to do like Agent H and sit over there and kind of watch the show while we finish it and stuff. But, I'm excited for birthday coming
it
up.
It is high quality. I will say this. I just noticed I'm looking at my work schedule for next week. I'm off early in the morning, so if you want to do it earlier in the day.
That's fine. Yeah, I was thinking about actually cooking out during the day or whatever and doing all that good
stuff. Cook out and do some podcasts.
Cook out and do podcasts, yeah.
That's what's up. All right, that's what's coming up for episode number 65. I got a treat in store for you for episode number 66. I'll tell you all about that after our last guest audio of the week, Sam Cecilia. Had to catch up with Sam Cecilia because I saw him in Milan.
Sicilia.
A couple weeks back. Yeah, in Milan, he's actually Sam Cecilia.
Yeah, because the CI is like,
that's right. So there they call him Sam Cecilia. And he was like, yeah, that's my name here, but back home it's
that's
Sicilia.
Awesome. Because Americans don't know.
Actually, it was funny because I'll say this: we actually ended up at the airport. We were all leaving at the same time. We didn't go in the same cars together, but we ended up at the same in the airport at the same time, and we all ended up kind of running to each other. None of us had much sleep at all, and we had a few frosty beverages before we jumped on our planes home. And Sam and Mike Chiesa did almost miss their flight, basically because we were sitting there having frosty
beverages.
Been
there, done that one.
And they were like, they came on, and it was paging like Sam Sicilia. And I'm like, who the hell is Sicilia?
And he was like, oh,
that's me. I gotta go. But so I saw Sam in Milan, and. He was there with Mike Chiesa. Of course, I did the Venator broadcasting with Mike Chiesa. And Sam accompanied Mike to help train him because, obviously, at that point, Mike's fight with Tony Ferguson was official. He was in camp already. He was just starting camp, but he was in camp, and he needed somebody to come with him to, like, hold mitts, roll with him, you know, do that sort of thing. So Sam did that. But Sam is hanging out with us before the event starts, and he's having a couple frosty beverages because he's not in camp, and that's mm-hmm. what Sam Sicilia is doing. And the next thing I know, I look up, and Sam Sicilia is in Cody McKenzie's corner. And I'm like, the hell is going on? The hell is going on here? How is he in Sam Sicilia's corner right now? Or, I mean, how is he in Cody McKenzie's corner right now? You can edit that. How is he in Cody McKenzie's corner? It was crazy. And then Cody McKenzie actually picked up that insane win, snapping his losing streak. So I wanted to talk to him about that because – he was definitely not scheduled to corner Cody McKenzie. They don't have an athletic commission there, so I don't think you have to apply for a license. But I did kind of want to find out how that thing all went down because I got to admit, there was a little bit of tension between the two earlier in the day. And then next thing you know, he's cornering him. So that was kind of bizarre.
Hmm.
So I had to find out about that. And then I also just wanted to get caught up on Sam Sicilia's career. Hasn't fought since the Do Ho Choi loss in South Korea. That was a tough loss for him for sure. Man, Sam has fought a South Korean in South Korea, fought a Brazilian in Brazil. He doesn't mind. You know, when you talk about the MMA Roadshow, he is the MMA Roadshow, son. He will come to your town and fight your dude. He is the MMA Roadshow. And he's got further ideas about what he'd like to do. So I did want to catch up with Sam Sicilia and find out what he was up to. So while we re-up for these last round while we're recording, frosty beverages, listen to my man Sam Sicilia. Or Sicilia.
Hello?
Sam.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. This is still a good time for you?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, I wanted to start first. I wanted to go back a little bit, man. The last time I saw you, you were in Milan, and you were there to watch fights with your boy Mike Chiesa. And the next thing I know, you're in Cody McKenzie's corner. How did that happen?
Yeah, I have no idea really. Cody was there, obviously with his girlfriend, and we've always had Cody like around the gym, but he's kind of a nomad. So when we saw him, he was just like, "Hey, do you want to corner me?" He's like drinking a beer on fight day. I was just like, oh, "Yeah, sure, why not?" him and Mike have a funny relationship where they kind of pick at each other all the time, and Mike had the comedy dating gig, so I was just kind of dicking around, so I didn't have anything else to do, so I was like, all right, why not?
That's
coached him to a victory. His five-fight losing streak.
I was going to say, I mean, you got to be proud because I'll say sitting there watching that fight with Mike, man, when he took that kick to the body, I'm like, okay, he's done. He's going to fold and give up. But he didn't give up. He actually fought through it.
Yeah, he did. So he's always been a mentally tough guy, and obviously nobody beats up Cody's liver worse than he does. But he's got it in him. He likes, loves fighting, and one of the things is he's just gonna do what Cody wants to do. So, that's why those don't make for great teammates. So he kind of see him when you see him, and then it's always a funny experience, and then you know, when you go on, and you never know when you'll see them again.
No doubt.
I mean, that's really. I'm like, oh fuck, a Cody time. This one happened in Italy, so I'm like, this is fucking random.
So I guess him drinking a beer on fight day isn't necessarily unheard of.
No, you know, and that's what I'm saying. He was like super happy to see me. He's like, oh man, come here, I'll buy you a beer. You know, and obviously I don't have a fight. I'm like, are you sure, man? He's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm just going to have one. I go, I mean, I get it, but you still got to fight tonight.
That's Cody McKenzie. All right, man, let's talk about you.
I know.
I had to get that story. That was great. But let's talk about you, man. I mean, rough go out last time, man. But, I mean, against a good dude. Duho Choi is no joke, man. But I know that was probably a frustrating one for you.
You know, it was. And I finally got on a roll. You know, I got my, you know, two-fight win streak going into that fight. And a really frustrating thing about that guy is that was my third time being booked with him. We were supposed to fight in San Diego. We were supposed to fight another time before that. And he kept getting injured or whatever. And then it was supposed to be in San Diego, and he opted out. And then, it pretty much came to where I had to go down there to fight him, you know. So it's kind of a frustrating fight. And I admit that I wanted to knock him out. And, you know, he was more accurate and threw straight punches and caught me, you know. So ended up firing off the instincts, you know, instead of the plan was that, you know, I was going to wrestle him a little bit, grapple, or at least stay in the clinch with him for a while. But, you know, it didn't go that way. It was frustrating to have to go down there. And getting booked with anybody that many times, I mean, kind of sucks because I was, you know, really not training for him. You know, I'm like, yeah, right, this fucking guy's something's gonna happen again, so just get ready to fight, you know, where he has a specific skill set that I for sure should have trained for, you know. You know, he has very accurate straight punches, you know, but not very much movement. You know, I should have moved a lot more and shot, you know, at least fake shots or something. And I jumped in with a loopy left, and then, you know, that accurate little bastard, you know, clipped me, and then we, you know, had an exchange, but, you know, it didn't end up my way.
That was back in November. I mean, you had three fights last year, three fights the year before. I mean, things were going along good, but, I mean, we haven't heard from you. Is that your own doing? Has there been something wrong, or are you just kind of hanging out waiting to hear from Sean?
You know, I've been in contact with Sean, and, I think I'm going to have a busy end of the year is what it's looking like. You know, not by any mean by my doing, you know, walking around with a loss for 6 months is a fucking terrible feeling. I'm not wasting it. You know, I know I have a lot of things to improve on and, you know, skill set stuff. So, you know, talking to Sean, you know, he pretty much said, you know, don't get fat and don't get hurt, you know. I think I'm up next, you know. And obviously, you know, my training partner, Mike, he's rattled off three in a row. This is the longest that I've went just watching him without, you know, fighting, you know. So, I mean, it has been really frustrating, but, you know, I'm making good use of the time, you know. One thing I really like, I feel like when I was at my best is when I was competing all the time. You know, these layoffs are, you know, kind of a bummer. And even after a win, usually people get a quicker turnaround. Even when I knocked out Akira, I had like a 6-month layoff. You know, and I'd like to ride that momentum. So, you know, hopefully at the end of this year, I can get three in a row.
Really?
You know?
Wow, so you still want to try to squeeze in three fights?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's what I really believe. I love competing, but, you know, after a win or a loss, you know, you want to get back out there, and waiting this long in between every one. So, you know, I feel like I'm at my best when I'm treated like a season rather than, you know, get in shape for a fight, kind of fall out of shape, get back in shape, you know. just stay in shape and rattle a couple off.
No doubt. You know, I was talking to your manager over the weekend. I guess he said the fight that you guys would like to put together, if it'll happen, you'd like to go to Germany for that Hamburg show and face Dennis Seaver. Is that the one that you're kind of looking at right now?
I would love that fight. I've always wanted it. You know, I feel like it's appropriate right now. You know, and nothing against him personally, but I've always just watched him fight and go, come on, give me that guy. I would love it. You know, and he's beat some good guys. I mean, I'm not saying that he's a slouch, but I would love to get in the cage with that guy. You know, and I feel like I'm at the point now in my career where I could beat him, you know. I know I could. So it's just something that I've had my eye on forever, but, you know, I feel like I get grouped in with these guys and, you know, like we're always fighting at the same time or fighting each other. And then, you know, you need to break out of that. You know, despite losing my last fight, I had a good year last year. I went two for three, but obviously you want to win them all. So, you know, this year that's what I'm focused on.
And I kind of find it funny that you're willing to go to Germany to face Dennis Seaver, because, I mean, you've had to play that role a couple of times where you've gone to somebody else's backyard. So do you enjoy, you know, that kind of role, or is it just think that that'd be the easiest way to make this fight happen?
Yeah, you know, it's not like I'm sacrificing myself or what to go over there or whatever. I don't mind traveling, you know. It does play a little bit of a role, but, you know, I've been through it all. If you've been to Brazil and fought a Brazilian, then the rest is, you know, whatever. You know, South Korea actually was, you know, they do get behind their guys too, you know. That crowd was actually, you know, a little more behind their guy than I thought, yep. You know. But Brazil is a little more like, not behind their guy, but just don't like you. And you saw Matt Brown get fucking grabbed on the way out to the cage, you know.
No doubt, man.
Yeah, I feel like if somebody chants, if some people chant you're gonna die, then you can flip them off. I don't think Matt Brown was in the wrong, you know.
That does seem fair. Well, hopefully that'll come together.
Right? I mean, yeah, you know, and like, we all know what that means now. I mean, at first I didn't. I just figured they're all yelling. But I'm like, everybody knows that. We know what you guys are saying now. So I feel like you can flip them off.
That's awesome, man. Well, hopefully that fight comes together. Yeah. Man. Well, talk about the team,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely.
Talk about the team, though. You said it, man. You guys have some big fights coming up between the squad. Obviously, Mike's got the headliner against Tony Ferguson. So, I mean, big fights going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know, like I said, I've been back to just being a training partner for Mike's last couple fights, but you know, this is his biggest, you know, and I really like the matchup. You know, how Mike goes, he's an extremist, and now he's an extreme, you know, training camp. You know, Julie's got her fight. She's been in Chicago, you know, with Luis Claudio. She always trains the Freak. You know, and they're focused. I believe Julie just got back, so she's been the last couple weeks with us, and you know, there's something about our little gym where everybody's hungry, you know, and right now is a good time for our gym. A lot of our up-and-coming pros just fought, too. So, you know, sometimes that stuff doesn't align, but we've got a bunch of killers in there. And, you know, once they've all seen it done, like it becomes realistic to make it to the UFC, you know, these guys, they're putting in their time. So we got great guys, and you know, I believe big things are coming up for our gym.
Awesome, brother. All right, man. We'll put this out. Hopefully, we can get that fight together for you. Any other last thoughts, messages, anything like that that you want to make sure gets out there?
No, you know, not really. No, I would love that fight, and you know, they can expect a different Sam Cecilia. Or not different, but I guess putting it all together has always been my kind of knock. You know, I've always been stubborn, so if people need to see me grapple, you know, I grapple, you know, Yachty and won because I wanted everybody to see I can grapple. Knocked out Akira, that's why, you know, I got sold as a brawler, so I was like, okay, you guys will see it. You know, you'll see it put together, Sam Cecilia. So I believe it's a great time for me. So, you know, it's my time to kind of step out of this little group I've been in and start, you know, cracking the top 10 or top 15. They're pretty quick.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Sam Cecilia or Cecilia. Yeah.
Mamma mia. I don't know who that was.
What did Alessio Zaccara think about that interview?
Mamma mia. Mi piace.
I will say this. So Sam Cecilia basically wanted to book a fight with Dennis Seaver in Hamburg. I can tell you this. 2 hours after I talked to him, 2 hours after I recorded this, he got booked another fight. So he ain't fighting. He ain't fighting Dennis Seaver in Hamburg, even though I just played that for you because I wanted you to hear it. But he told me to play that anyway because he's like, you know what? Maybe I can still fight Dennis Seaver in Hamburg because he wants to get 3 fights in before the year's up. It's already June 16th, June 17th.
Wow.
He wants to get 3 fights in. So he's like, you know what? Just play that shit anyway.
Yeah.
Because I still want to fight him.
Put that shit out in the universe.
Yeah. So I don't know who he's fighting. Maybe I do, but I can't say. but he got booked literally 120 minutes after I interviewed him. So
wow.
That happens. Listen, I do think we need to take a gym visit up there. Mike Chiesa, Sam Cecilia, Juliana Pena, all in one gym.
Wow, yeah.
I bet. We could get
it out.
Stories.
Get it out.
I bet we could get some stories. I bet if we want to debut some streaming, who knows by the time we book it, but I bet there will be some streaming possibilities from that gym.
It might come sooner rather than later. Yeah, if I keep messing with it, it'll happen. But yeah, that's something we can definitely. Definitely do, and that would be good. That's some top quality people right there.
Yep. All right. So we already talked about episode number 65. Episode number 66.
Whoa. What is it?
You know what's gonna happen there?
Uh oh.
I will be in rural Tennessee, because I will be at the Danced Up Compound.
The Stand Up Compound.
Stand Up Compound. I will be there for some training exercises that I have to do. Fernanda Prachis will be there as well,
whoa,
getting some training done as well. So we will
have like small arms, rifle combat,
totally.
You know,
SWAT
purifying
operations.
Water,
totally. Yeah, that. Yeah, out there in the middle of who knows. Actually, I'm gonna learn Photoshop. I don't know how to do Photoshop. I'm gonna admit that to the world. So I'm gonna learn to do Photoshop. I know how to do video editing. I know how to do shooting. I don't know how to do Photoshop. He's gonna teach me how to do that. Fernanda's gonna learn how to do Photoshop as well. Do some WordPress. Some things that we do on the back end. So, rural Tennessee, episode number 66. I will have myself, Fernanda Kolkafi will not be there, but Dan Stupp, the head MMA junkie himself, we will have him on.
Good
Frosty
stuff.
Beverages will be consumed. There are certain plants of the earth that maybe
that might get burned.
Might
sure,
be burned
sure
as well before
I'm sure
we
some
step
animals
in.
Animals are being going to be consumed and all
things,
that sacrifices being made out in the woods.
Things are gonna happen, so that should be a memorable.
Practice.
It should be a memorable episode.
Practice.
Oh, look Fernanda at you rolling Practice. The R's. I don't think they roll the R's in Portuguese.
Well, whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah. Some favelas they do.
Wow. All right. So we got to get this thing edited. We got to get this thing done. It's not that late.
No, it's not. But if feels a little bit, but I think just because the excitement of the game and then all this talk of the UFC, there's just so much.
So listen, if when you listen to into this episode and the UFC is for sale and it's already sold, let me just welcome our new Chinese rulers. I will be learning Mandarin.
I was like, sure. I think it's like yes or something. Sure. Shishi, I think maybe is.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's Japanese.
Do you have a Tiquan Zhang? That's not in your repertoire just yet.
Sure.
Wow.
No. I would love to learn how to ask for another one in like some Cantonese or Mandarin or something. That's a life goal right there. Ask for another drink, another beer in
oh,
Chinese.
Oh man. So we may have another language to learn entirely. I've had the Rosetta Stone in Portuguese in my house for the last 5 years and
dust
I can't
collecting on
I
that
can't
shit,
say huh? a damn thing other than Maishun, Banheiro, Original,
Desculpa,
Bohemia, Skol, Desculpa.
Chiscaria.
And thanks for listening. Remember that part where you got racist against everybody?
Impersonations aren't racist. They're honor. What do you call it when you honor somebody? They're Isn't impersonation is like the is flattery the, is the
wait
sincerest form of
God, what is it
imitation
is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, Gabla.
All right, we're good.
Was that did that come over as good on the speaker as it was in my head? It was pretty well.
Wow, that's huge.
It caused like a tsunami somewhere in Asia right there. Was that some that rumble right
that
there?
Was,
is that deep?
That was like some strong. Jurassic Park.
See, now you're going to make me want to fucking sit here. I'm going to be by myself during the day doing impressions now just so I can be ready. All right, and go. I'm not editing that out. That's on you, dog. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
Well, that was just one thing where I got their names back.
You know what else Italians and what Americans mess up too because with the whole like pronunciation? Bruschetta.
Bruschetta. Yeah, I know.
And I remember when the ones...
But it's so dorky because if you go to an Italian restaurant, because you're right.
Yeah.
And obviously I've been over there a couple times and I love it. And like, but if you go and you're like, I'll take bruschetta, they're like, the bruschetta? You're like...
You're like, fuck you.
Fuck you, homeboy.
I would love it when the person, how they pronounce me, they're like, well, do you say shul? What do you mean? What's shul? Oh, you call it school. But it's the same thing with the S-C-H. So why do we say bruschetta, but we don't say shul?
That's funny.
Yeah, so it works out.
That's a good one. I was out of words.
Picanha. Picanha, that one always.
Picanha, yeah, yeah. Oh,
Feijão.
Feijão. Malpassada.
I learned that little bread crummy stuff, I think, is called farafa.
Farafa?
Yeah.
How about, now, which one is cheesy bread and which one is cheesy dick?
Pão de queijo is the cheese bread, but the pão de queijo is cheese cock. I believe. Perhaps one of our Brazilian listeners can weigh in and say my pronunciation was terrible. Pão, with the on, is cheese. Pow.
No, that's not cheese. Or whatever. Occasion is cheesy, dumbass.
Bread, pow, bread. One bread. How is that even close? Bread, our bread and dick. Are nowhere
how would you
near
say bready dick?
Pão wee.
Pão pão.
Poco pão de queijo. Poco pau de queijo. Small dick. Cheese dick. All right, whatever. That's...